Thank you so much, Stacy. And thank you, everybody, for having me here. My name is James. I'm a compulsive overeater, and my heart is beating really fast right now. I'll give a little bit of background. I was born in Brooklyn, New York, and that's where I grew up. And relatively recently, within a little bit less than a year, I moved down to Florida, in the south of the United States. And my parents are from were from Europe. They passed away last year. So I'm of Irish and Scottish heritage. I mentioned that because, relatively new to the U.S., and I feel like in a lot of ways I have my feet in multiple cultures. But with that said, I grew up in Brooklyn during the 1980s. That really was the era of my childhood. as much as I like a good car crash story, honestly, in these rooms, I like when people spend a lot of time sort of sharing about the formative years and stuff like that. I'm going to skip over a lot of that simply because I want to gear my share today towards talking about my experience with going through the steps. And with the journey towards developing a relationship with a power greater than myself. And the way that I learned it is that when you qualify, first and foremost in your mind, you're supposed to keep the newcomer in your thoughts. And so, really, if you are relatively new to this program, or if you're having difficulty gaining some traction in the program, I'm speaking really first and foremost to you. So I hope that in some way what I share today will be helpful in some way or another to you guys. So, I've been coming to OA for about 3 years now, a little shy of 3 years, and I've been in the halls of recovery for about 7.5 years. And I'll say when I hit my first bottom about 7.5 years ago, and what it looked like for me was a very dark and lonely place. At that time, I was well over 300 pounds. I was morbidly obese and I had a lot of medical issues. I had a very high uncontrolled blood pressure. I had just turned the corner in terms of my A1C to developing adult onset diabetes. And I was just very, very Excuse me, very, very socially isolated. I lived in a basement apartment in Queens in New York. I worked overnights and slept during the day. And so, this sort of symbolism of being cut off from the sunlight of the spirit, I saw very, very little sunlight in my daily life. And my life at that time really was dedicated towards working so that I could feed my habits, which were food, drugs, alcohol. And so, when I hit my bottom, it was a very lonely place. And ultimately, what brought me into the rooms was fear for my life, with particularly the medical issues that I was having. I was really worried about an early death. I mean, I was just careening towards that. And so I'm grateful for that gift of desperation because it was ultimately a doctor that said, look, you need to find some sort of 12-step program that'll help you to gain the life skills that'll help you to turn things around. So, I first started in AA because I needed to move the drugs and the alcohol out of the way first. And so I'm going to use the word recovery to sort of talk about my experience with the 12 steps because really it all is the same no matter which 12-step program you come into. But because I had that gift of desperation, that first step of accepting the helplessness, the powerlessness, the unmanageability, I was there. I had been trying for quite a long time to make it so that I could feed all the habits that I had, and still be able to live some sort of a healthy life. And obviously, I couldn't make a dent in it at all. So by the time I came to the rooms, really, it was just a very sort of sad, lonely, isolated place and ready for something different. Just before I came in, I have a very stark memory that I revisit often of just sitting on the side of my bed in my dark one room, basement studio and saying, it wasn't supposed to be like this. I'm a relatively intelligent person. There's a lot of potential there, and it wasn't supposed to be like this. And I'll tell you the experience that I had. I wish it for anybody. I went to in-person meetings when I first started, and that very first meeting, it just wound up that when I walked in, I wound up in the place in the cipher where, in a relatively short order, I had to stand up and claim my seat and start speaking in front of people and saying why I was there. And the amazing thing, though, is there's something that happens when you find yourself in a place where you're surrounded by people who share that malady with you, and yet they're smiling. And there's something about the energy that they're transmitting that says they have some sort of secret to how to get beyond this. And for me, it was palpable sitting among them, but also feeling that energy coming in my direction in the form of support. And to go from such an isolated place to all of a sudden being surrounded by people who were rooting for me and who I knew instinctively understood what I was going through from the inside out, that was the beginning of the transformation. And it was just, I feel very lucky because I know that not everybody who will have that type of experience as soon as they come into the rooms. And I don't know why I was so blessed for that to be the experience. So, first step, I was already there. I didn't know any better, thank God, to question it. So, I started working the steps pretty immediately. It was a little bit of trial and error before I got a sponsor. The first guy that I found was a bit of a drill sergeant, and I was too emotionally raw at the time to have somebody that was that authoritative. So I looked around a little bit more and found a guy who I felt like was just a little bit more compassionate and kind of fun to be around. And he also was really, really good at bringing levity to heavy situations. And the thing is, when I reached these rooms, I was carrying so much emotional baggage from my early life with me, but I was ready to begin actually talking about it. And at that point, really just resolved to do whatever it took to get beyond where I was, because I wanted to live, you know. And, yeah, so he was really good at making creating a safe place to begin talking about those things. And so yeah, second and third steps, I didn't have much experience with religion or spirituality. And so the way that it was told to me, and I'm grateful for this, was that it's okay to make the fellowship and the program your higher power. And that's exactly what I did. And what he told me is that if your higher power is the fellowship and the program, then your church, your temple is meetings. You get to as many meetings as possible, and whatever you're working on, right? You hold that in your mind and you turn yourself into an antenna. You get to the meetings and you sit there, and whatever you're sitting with, let it sit in your mind and then become receptive to whatever answers are going to come your way. And so, my first experience really with the sort of God shots, I guess, that come with this program really came with you guys. Just in the beginning, it was being able to reach the end of a 24-hour period. One after the other in succession, and be able to lay my head on the pillow without having indulged in my disease. And there was always something that I could come away with from you guys in the program when I made myself receptive and just listened, that would help to make sense of it all, give me a sense of hope that I could carry with me for another 24 hours. And that really was sort of the beginning of I guess the spiritually transformative experience. And then, as far as the steps four and five go, when I was working with the sponsor, it's funny, I liken the sponsor in that way to sort of like a Sherpa, in terms of I'm working with somebody who has the same malady as me and has gone through the steps and has had that spiritually transformative experience. And so with their experience, they're able to sort of guide me down into the crevasse where you begin that investigation into looking at all the stuff that takes up space in your brain. And they can hold up the light for you to be able to gain a little bit more of vision. But ultimately, all the heavy lifting is on me. And without my trusty friends, food, drugs, alcohol, to tamp down all the emotions, once I started talking about my life and my resentments and my fears and all of that stuff, it was this emotional purge began. And it was not easy. I cried a lot during the first couple of years of my of coming into this program. And especially for a guy that that feeling of helplessness when all that emotion is coming out and not being able to really control it, it was hard. It was really hard. And so again, the fellowship is what sustained me through that, because I was constantly made aware, a lot of times indirectly, but sometimes very directly, that this is a safe place to be able to do that. And not just that, but it was a necessary part of it. So that purge
That's
took
10 minutes, James.
10 minutes.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you. That purge took place, and it took however long it took, but it really was amazing, and I'm so grateful for the support that I received that allowed me to be able to do that, because it was absolutely necessary. And then over time, 6 and 7, being able to identify some of my base fears and some of my defects of character, really the amazing thing was that, it went from feeling like my head was just full of this sort of random mishmash of insanity to actually seeing the patterns emerge in my thinking, and to slowly be able to sort of take those things, to revisit them without reliving them, to allow them to take up their place in the past and sort of be able to put them aside and move them out of the way. And what happens is the space that's open when you move that stuff out of the way, it leaves a space for, I think, the spiritual relationships that I was developing to move in, just really an amazing experience, especially for somebody who didn't have much of a background in religion or spirituality at all before I came here. It really was out of whole cloth and from the ground up, and it was incredible. Some of the things that start happening when I began to develop that relationship with a power greater than myself. And so we're talking about 8 and 9 now, making the amends. I feel like I was kind of lucky because I was so isolated for so many years. Didn't really have many relationships to speak of. I also wasn't transgressing against a lot of people, and so there weren't a ton of amends that I needed to make. But one of the humbling things that I came to realize when I was at that point was that by removing myself from the lives of people who loved me because of my shame and because I was just so wrapped up in the disease, was a sin of omission that I needed to make amends for. And for people who love me, to leave them in a place where they're watching me slowly kill myself and feeling powerless to do anything about it. It was really wonderful to come back into that fold, to begin cleaning up the relationships that I had. And to see the relief also that they were gaining, along with the relief that I was gaining, and just recognizing the changes that were happening, and feeling like, okay, he's going to be okay. So before I get into those last three steps, the reason that I mentioned this is because, that process is a lot of work. There's a lot of emotional labor, and there's a lot of time that it takes to do that. And so they say that specifically for, with regards to newcomers or people who are just gaining traction in this program, is that that stuff takes time. And if you're somebody who's come here and feeling a little bit difficulty with regards to just maybe the weight isn't coming off automatically like you thought that it would, the truth is, if you're just showing up on a regular basis and putting in that work of laying the spiritual groundwork, you actually are, you're in the right place, and you're doing ex you're exactly where you should be. Like I said, I came into AA before I came into OA. And when I put the alcohol down, obviously just by merit of the fact that I was no longer consuming just massive amounts of empty calories, I started to lose weight pretty quickly. And I thought, well, this is great, and I'll come down to a normal weight, and everything's going to align perfectly, because things were going so well in that program when I gained the clarity of just not being, a drunken and high all the time. And eventually it caught up with my eating habits. So after about 5 years in that program, I made my way over and realized I needed a fellowship that was dealing specifically with food issues. And I didn't realize it until I was here for a little while, but I carried a little bit of vanity, thinking that my credits would transfer. They did not. I came into AA, and I have not, knock wood, had a relapse at all since I picked up that white chip. I have had a number of relapses and a number of slips in this program, and that vanity that I carried with me, that I was going to have a similar experience here, got moved out of the way pretty quickly. And To be honest, even for the first 2 years that I was in this program, because of the shame that sort of resurfaced with all the difficulties that I had with staying abstinent for a continuous period of time, I had difficulty with honesty, with my sponsor. I mean, I did the best that I could, but there were a lot of times where the way that it worked for me was that I would lie to myself first about things not really meaning that much or not really needing to be completely honest about it. And then my sponsor being kind of stunned that actually the weight wasn't coming off, considering the logs that I was sending him about what I was consuming. And again, the fellowship delivered. I started coming to this meeting regularly and was exposed to the amazing quality of abstinence that exists in this particular room. I absolutely fell in love immediately. But more importantly, I saw modeled for me and mirrored for me a number of people who were having difficulty with their abstinence, but that every time they had a slip, they would pick themselves up, dust themselves off, get honest immediately, and start working again. And it's funny because I would look at those people and feel nothing but admiration for them. And yet, when I was in a similar place, I just felt shame. And so I needed to see that behavior modeled over and over again to start working on really getting honest. And I remember when I came clean with my sponsor about where it was, and then what started to happen from there, you know? And so again, I speaking to the newcomer in particular, you know, getting to these places, this place really, really takes time. But it absolutely is worth it. And so I'd say in the time since I began at the Halls of Recovery, I'm closing in on about 100 pounds of weight loss. But more importantly, also the diabetes that I had when I first came in here reversed itself fairly quickly. That's been wonderful. I now am properly medicated for the blood pressure issues that I was having, and so many of my health-related outcomes are just astounding. I not too long ago, not too short ago either, but I went and did a battery test with a cardiologist and got some really good news. And so what I found is just, you know, amazing thing about going through those steps is that particularly after I reached the place where I had done my amends, I arrived at this place where I felt like I was in this sort of neutral ground where there was so much of that baggage that I was carrying around with me that was kind of moved over to the side. And to replace it was this developing relationship with a power greater than myself. And the more that I was engaged with it, the more that I was learning the process of how to pray and how to meditate and how to stay in conscious contact with it, eerie things started to happen, honestly. You know, they talk in this program about the idea of God shots, which for me is just the idea of sort of synchronicities that wind up happening, that when you learn to sort of get right-sized, to peel away that artifice and the self that gets latched onto us. I think speaking for myself, these mechanisms that I developed early in life in order to survive that now just no longer serve me. When you start peeling those things away because they no longer work for you,
2 minute warning.
2 minute?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Thank you. Something really beautiful is left behind. And I think the more I learn to sort of plug into that, the more out of my way that I am. The more the things that I actually need in order to live a happy, joyous, free life wind up making their way into my orbit. It's really quite an incredible thing to discover. For me, honestly, it's like discovering magic. And I wish that for everybody. Just the experience of when you engage in self-forgetting, when you move towards away from thinking constantly about the self and more towards thinking about how you can be of help to other people. Everything that you need seems to kind of move into your orbit automatically without all that much work. And what I will say is that with the food, it's taken a bit longer simply because, whereas with drugs and alcohol, you kind of move it out of the way and you start moving in a different direction. With food, you have to let that beast out of the cage multiple times a day and learn to play nice. And, you know, I'm dealing with a relationship that I started so early in my life that a lot of the thinking behind it was buried. And it takes a lot of excavation to start seeing it clearly. But the more that I come here, the more that I learn from your experiences, and the more that I actually learn to intuitively have that pipeline directly opened up between myself and my creator, Just what is revealed to me and how it helps me to maintain my abstinence is just absolutely incredible. So today, coming from the perspective of somebody who has about today actually marks 6 months for me of continuous abstinence. It's not the most abstinence that I've had, but it's a really good quality abstinence right now, and I owe it to you guys. I guess I'm coming up on the end of my time. There's a million other things I wanted to say, but I feel like I got the bulk of it in. And so to leave it off, I just want to express my gratitude to all of you because I'm here because you guys are here. I'm very, very aware that I can't do this alone. And I just love you guys so much. What you guys have given me, I just, my desire, honestly, is to just give back even a portion of that. My life is so beautiful with you guys in it. And I'm so, so grateful. So thank you very much for.